There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Did you ever wonder why for more than 2,000 years God remained mysteriously hidden and manifested his presence only in the form of a mysterious voice? For over 2,000 years, from Abraham to St. John the Baptist, a pillar of clouds, a pillar of fire, a wind, some kind of thunder or lightning, all of those would be the only appearances of God in his creation. Divine paradox of God revealing himself or withdrawing himself just in time to maintain that incredible proximity and at the same time that infinite distance with his creation. Yahweh, Jehovah, He who is his name. The tetragrammaton formed with the four consonants, yod, he, vav, he, certainly formed also with the root of the verb to be, haya. That was it, the name of God. No one was or is still worthy enough to give him a name. No human language can name he who is, and can only refer to him as Adonai Elohim, the Lord, the Master, the righteous man. One could not and cannot grasp the essence of God, what he is in and of itself, himself, and therefore cannot find a word that would be good enough, accurate enough, that would be fitting for God. And so he hides behind images, analogies, men again being unable to name him. Well, then use the same images or name him, but according to his attributes, his characteristics, like the just, the merciful, the one who sanctifies, the one who heals, the one who brings peace, etc. But never according to his very essence. In the Old Testament, we read about the Ruach, the Spirit of God, the breath of God, who informs, gives life to creation. In the book of Genesis, God reveals himself through what he does and not what he is. Over its waters, steered the breath of God, or the Spirit of God. Psalm 104, Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, and there is fresh creation. The Word of God is also mentioned as the creative power of God. What he wills and speaks through his Word necessarily comes into existence. Take the very first page of the Bible. God said, Let there be light, and the light began. He said, Let the sky, let the waters, let the plants and animals be. He said, Let men be, and man was created out of the lime of the earth. He says, He speaks, and things are. And yet, no one can give him a name. Psalm 145, There was a hush of silence all around, and night had but finished half her swift journey when from the heavenly throne, Lord, down leaped thy word omnipotent, the all-powerful word of God. Verse that St. John the Evangelist will use in the book of Revelation when describing this mysterious man riding that white horse, prefiguring the coming of the Lord of hosts. Then in my vision, says the evangelist, heaven opened, and I saw a white horse appear. Its rider bore for his title the faithful, the true. He went clad in a garment deep dyed with blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. God also reveals himself as wisdom, a personified wisdom, as if wisdom was a person talking to us. And yet, no personal name is given. We read in the book of Proverbs that wisdom interacts with men and invites them to receive from it true goods, justice, life, favors from God, even divine intimacy. Wisdom is formed in God before all things, from all eternity. Wisdom, again described as a person, seems to partake in the work of creation. According to the text, I was there when he enclosed the sea within its confines, forbidding the waters to transgress their assigned limits. When he posed the foundations of the world, I was at his side, the master workman, my delight increasing with each day, as I made play before him all the while. But this is not enough for our human minds and for our need for personal relationship. The revelation of God's attributes or characteristics would not satisfy man's deepest desires. And in his obstinacy, he continued to break the covenant, to offend his Creator. He continued to ignore his prophets and priests, continued to reject his law, and to bow before idols. But the just and merciful Lord did not abandon his people and promised, through the mouth of his prophet Isaiah, to give a sign. To give a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And from the mouth of the angel, as we just heard, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. A name. Language is the expression of the reality we can grasp, we can understand around us. Language describes and processes within us reality, truth. Language is the expression of that correspondence between reality and what is in our minds, how we grasp, understand that reality around us. And so language expresses truth, or at least it should express truth. Language is the necessary tool for communication, of course, for expressing the truth, and we express it in order to share it with others. Language allows relationship. There's no relationship possible if there is no language, whatever form this language takes. Language allows relationship between I and you, between I and others. Without language, there can be, once again, no relation, which would be the antithesis of what God is in his Trinity, a relation of persons. If expression or language does not reflect reality, then truth is in part or entirely absent. Truth is that correspondence between statements, what we say, what we can formulate in our minds, and reality itself. That is the truth. And therefore, distorting language in breaking that correspondence between reality and our minds, to distort language is to distort or even to negate the truth, reject the truth. Take the example of the gender ideology. Calling a he a she is negating reality and using language to do so. And by doing that, we deny the truth of our very nature. Language should always, as much as possible, be the expression of what reality is, and therefore the expression of the truth. Unable, with our own concepts, images, or analogies, to fully understand God, to fully comprehend the mystery of God, God then provided the name, which would be the remedy to our ignorance and weakness, for which cause God has exalted him, and has given him a name which is above all names, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow. In God, the eternal Word, the eternal contemplation of infinite love, embrace now our human nature in the crib. Not that he had a need to do so, but because he loved us. His holy name expresses perfectly who he is and what he does. Jesus, the Emmanuel. Yeshua, the Savior, the Redeemer, God with us, God among us. What comforting truth to meditate on. What other sign do we need? What other name do we need? In the liturgical revision of Vatican II, the feast was removed, the feast of the Holy Name that we celebrate today, though a votive mass to the Holy Name of Jesus had been retained for devotional use. Luckily, with the release of the revised Roman Missal in March of 2002, the feast was restored, but simply as an optional memorial in the ordinary form on January 3rd. Of course, we can only be saddened by this change, but reassured with the more recent change, in a way, especially when we know how powerful of an exorcism the simple name of Jesus is. Jesus is his name. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Yehoshua, my help, literally, my salvation. His name is a saving cry, a cry for help. And I will let the great Saint Bernard, Doctor of the Incarnation, conclude for us. The name of Jesus is a sovereign medicine. If there be anyone overwhelmed with sorrow, let Jesus come into his heart and to his lips. And behold, at the rising light of this sacred name, all darkness and clouds will be dispersed. Peace and joy will return, and the serenity of his mind will be restored. If there be anyone stained with crime and driven headlong by despair to the pit of destruction, let him call upon himself this life-giving name, and he will speedily be restored to hope and salvation. Is there anyone amongst you in hardness of heart, in sloth, in tepidity, in bitterness of mind? If he will but invoke the name of Jesus, his heart will be softened, and tears of contrition will flow gently and abundantly. In dangers and distress, in fears and anxieties, let him call on this name of power. And his confidence will return. His peace of mind will be restored. Doubts and embarrassments will be dispelled and give place to certainty. There is no ill of life, no adversity or misfortune in which this adorable name will not bring help and fortitude. It is a remedy whose virtue our dear Savior invites us to test. Blessed be his holy name, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.